I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Scott Mitchell here. Way over across the desk is Matt Biamonte from Cougar Sports Saturday. He's one of those co-hosts. Also, like an obnoxious Lakers fan, he's here filling in for Alex, who is off on a really cool adventure, actually. Alex is out with his family. They're celebrating his grandfather, who was a veteran of World War II, and they're having a really cool ceremony to do that. So couldn't miss it. Took his family, and good for him. Anyways, welcome into the program. A lot of fun today. Of course, we're going to talk about all those fun things, basketball. We're actually going to talk about soccer. I know, Matt. I know it's kind of crazy, but we're going to do that today. And there is a potentially, of Lionel Messi potentially ending up playing against RSL this year.
Love that.
No joke. We're going to talk about that. A bunch of other things, too, that, you know, are in the sports world. And it's going to be a fun show. Got a lot to look forward to. Apparently, the Big 12 is going to Mexico, and, of course, your NFL roundup and all that good stuff. Oh, yeah. That's right. Footy ball. Anyways, I got a lot of questions for you today, Matt, and most of them will be somewhat intelligent. Some of them won't, but we'll have a good time.
Absolutely.
Anyways, a couple of things before we get into the cut. Do you know what today is? So there's a calendar. If you go to the national day calendar, it will tell you what national day of the year it is today. And today is National Upsidaisy Day. You know what that means?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
That means that you are supposed to go out and encourage people to be grateful and appreciative of all that they have in their life. So, like, for example, you could say, I'm really appreciative that I get to be on Unrivaled today.
I'm very appreciative.
And I could say, I'm really appreciative that you are here. See, that's how it works. And so you make somebody's day feel better.
I like that. Yeah. This is a great day, then.
So it's gratitude and make people feel better. And you're encouraged to write letters, to say nice things, to make people feel better. That's apparently what upsidaisy means.
Upsidaisy.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So I got a question for you. Are you ready? Here's my first question of the day for Matt Biamonte.
Okay, let's go.
All right. The first question I have is, is being an airhead an actual medical condition, or is it just kind of some description?
Hold on. Don't fall for it.
No, this is a legitimate question. A legitimate question.
I don't trust you.
I swear
you.
This is not a dad joke. We'll get into
this
those later.
This is a legitimate question?
This is a legitimate question. Is being an airhead an actual...
I don't think it's a medical condition.
It's actually a medical condition.
What is the condition?
Air in your head. You can actually get air in your head, and you become an airhead. and you have to go, and the doctor will actually decompress your head that's full of air.
Has this happened to you?
No.
Have you been an airhead
before?
Do I
look like an airhead? No.
I don't know. After some of the things you say on the show.
Well, I'm not inhaling a joint. Listen, here's the thing. About 96% of the time, I'm proven out to be correct. It's true. It's a true
no
fact.
No way.
Yes. Matt, I'm telling you, I am full of insight and intelligence that is like unmatched. It's the truth. I'm telling you, 96% true.
96% yes. is a high number.
Well, because I'm highly intelligent. I'm not
that
full.
I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid.
See, there's all these things. They just come out. Anyways, apparently, so in all seriousness, apparently you can actually somehow get air trapped inside your ears.
So it's through the ears.
Yes, it's through the ears. Yeah.
Huh.
I found this out today. Thought it was fascinating. So there you have it. There's some insight. Right now, though, we're going to get to the cut. And the cut is, man, the Nuggets, they showed up last night.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Hey, our show is brought to you by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious treat. Call Trajan Wealth today, your local trusted financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600, or visit their website at TrajanWealth.com. It's T-R-A-J-A-N Wealth.com. All right, the cut today, of course... did you happen to watch the game last night?
Of course.
Is that a trick question for you?
It's not a trick question.
All right. Was your head full of air last night watching that game?
No. It was an interesting game for sure because it felt like in the beginning, Scott, Denver was really struggling to generate offense.
Yeah.
And it felt after the first half that it was going to be a close game, and then Denver just blew it open in the second half.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so a historic night. This never, ever, ever happened. Ever happened. Where two players from the same team had a 30-point triple-double in the same game. Never in the regular season, never in the playoffs, and, of course, never, ever in the finals. And so I'm watching this game last night, right? And the thing that just, like, I can't stop watching Nikola Jokic. I can't. I can't stop watching him. Like, he's so abnormal for what the NBA is. Because, you know, you... There's a flow to how the players play. There's an area where the players set up on offense. And here, the Denver Nuggets are two games away now. Two games, that's it. Two wins away from having a center who is legitimately like a traditional center playing on their team and being the focal point of everything. You know, back in the good old days, way before you were born, Matt, when they actually
the 80s?
When they actually had centers in basketball. So, like your buddy Shaquille O'Neal, who played for the Lakers, was a back against the basket center, right?
Great center,
amazing center, right? I'm not sure Shaquille O'Neal. He probably plays in today's NBA, but you know, maybe I don't want to say. I mean, he's a talent. I'll just leave it at that. But the game is not Shaquille O'Neal. Center game anymore. And that was the game. You know, you get into playoffs and it's like we got to establish that inside game with whomever,
Kareem.
You know, all of them, right? And I just was watching this last night going, "Wow, this is like watching a throwback in the NBA." And I don't know what it is about sports and where we just fall in love with something. Like, we fall in love with the three-pointer. We fall in love with, you know, cutting to the basket. Slam dunks, three-pointers. You know, that's kind of the game today. And yet, here was something that kind of bucks the trend. And Jokic certainly does. And I'm telling you, I just – watching him play, watching the adjustments that happened, truly, to me, I think was a fascinating thing to see in that game last night.
Jokic was great, but he's been great all playoffs. I think that's what makes him a perennial MVP. That's what makes him one of the best players in the game. Probably should have been the MVP this year, is that he does it night in and night out. You know what you're getting. The reason Denver won last night, Scott, though, was Jamal Murray, who had the other triple-double, 34 points, 10-10. He did not look like the same guy who played in the Lakers Western Conference Finals in Game 2, and that's why they lost. And I think what makes this series so interesting is that you've got Denver with a two-star approach in Murray and Jokic, and that's predominantly what's won in the NBA. Miami does not have that, and so I've been rooting for Miami because I'd love to see a team that breaks the mold win an NBA championship.
You mean like no superstars and
no superstars,
a bunch of non-drafted second rounders?
Exactly, because that would really...
Which is so impressive, by the way.
It's incredibly impressive, and it would be historic if they were to win that way. But what typically wins is what we saw last night, and that's why teams who have that most often win the NBA championship, because you can just rely on them to give you 34 in the case of Murray, 32 in the case of Jokic. That's two-thirds of the points that Miami had. And then if you get any contributions from anybody else, which they got from Christian Braun, 15 points, the rookie out of Kansas off the bench.
He was big.
It makes them hard to beat. So I think at the end of the day, everything you said about Jokic is true. And I love watching him. I gain tremendous respect for him in these playoffs because he plays the right way. He's such an unselfish.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Player, but at the as well and as good as he's played, it all comes down to Jamal Murray. If he's going to be an all-star like he was in the Lakers series, then they're going to win the championship.
He makes it easier for sure. I mean, he carried the team early in the game, and he was big. He made some big shots, tough three-pointers early on in the game when it was close. But you know, there's a couple of things I think are also interesting. And the NBA is so much about how many minutes do I get, how many points do I score. It's so isolation basketball. It's, you know, it's the superstar wins. And Jokic, they ask him after the game, you know, this is historic. How'd you feel about this? And he goes, oh, I'm just glad we won, you know. And you really get a sense that that's what he feels like. Oh, I'm just, you know, because when he only had four assists in the game, game two, and they lost, and they Miami made an adjustment, you know, to him being in the high post in their offense, and then of course Jokic and Denver, they made another adjustment in game two, which really helped him, but. When this team is unselfish, that's when, you know, when you have a guy coming off the bench who's, you know, he hasn't been a significant player in the playoffs and scores 16 points. And it's because I think when you walk in a game and he's gotten like valuable minutes.
Yeah.
And you walk in a game and your superstar is there and he's like, look, if you're open, I'm going to pass you the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect you to get open, and I expect you to score and make things happen when you're in the game. And so for a guy, I think that's where I think is something that's kind of been lost in the NBA. And it used to not be that way. Like Larry Bird is great. Larry Bird could probably score 50, 60 points a night. Like he was insanely good. I mean, he was an insanely good shooter, an insanely good basketball player. Really a similar version to Jokic in that, you know, he was big enough to get rebounds. He was a triple-double guy, you know, because he could get rebounds. He was a great assist and could score. And yet he wasn't a center, you know, he was a forward, but the same type of game. And when you played for the Celtics, I mean, it was the ultimate team basketball. And so you're actually rising. But the thing is I think Miami's the same way. I don't think Jimmy Butler is kind of being a, you know, that superstar, but they're still they're going to take what teams give them, and I think with Miami personally, if they don't shoot the three-pointer well, they're going to lose. I don't know that they have more than that.
That's what it comes down to for Miami, because in the first two games they were out-rebounded by 8, which is pretty good considering they're undersized at nearly every position. You go starting lineup from center down, Jokic is taller than Bam. Porter and Gordon are taller than Kevin Love and Jimmy Butler. Murray's taller than Gabe Vincent. I mean, maybe KCP and Max Strus equal out, but Denver has a humongous height advantage, and the only way to offset that is what you saw in Game 2, where Miami made a lot more threes. And in Game 3, they weren't falling for Miami. Yeah. And it's very hard to win when you only have – you pull down 33 rebounds, and you're out-rebounded by 25. And they made 11 of 35 from 3, but that wasn't – that was 6 less than Game 2. I'm doing some quick math at the top of my head here. I did not get a degree in math. I'm not a stats guy.
Do not do math over there.
6 times 3, 18. So they had 18 more points from 3.
6 times 3 is 18?
Yeah.
Can you fact check that, Jeremy?
That's a fact. 6 times 3 is 18.
I'm kidding.
They had 18 more points.
It's a math joke.
Okay. They lose by 15. That's the game. Even though, and so I think that a lot of people, including our producer Jeremy here, think that this series is done. I don't think it's done. Because they got out-rebounded by 25. And all they had to do was make 5 more threes, and it's game's going to OT.
Yeah, that's Captain Obvious statement right there. I mean, all you got to do is make more threes, and you're going to win.
Are you Jimmy Butler's best friend? Because that's what he said after when they won game 2. Just make our shot.
That's not Captain Obvious.
I'm kidding. But it's a point well taken. Here's the thing, that your point actually is one of the reasons why I love the NBA playoffs. I really do. I thoroughly enjoy watching this. And I'm a huge Jazz fan, and I'm typically not someone that goes, nah, the Jazz are out of it. I'm not interested. I'm interested in human nature. I'm interested in how people deal with pressure. I'm interested in watching elite play at an elite level, right? These guys are playing their tails off. You know, that nobody, you know, there's extended minutes. Nobody's sitting out. You're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
You really are getting your money's worth. And
it's way different than the regular season.
It's 1,000% different. And what I love about this matchup and have, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, they want Celtics, Lakers. What I wanted two scrappy fighting teams. And I think Denver got smacked right in the mouth by Miami in game 2.
Yeah.
And I don't think
first time in the playoffs at home.
Right. And I think they thought they were going to just
roll,
kind of show up and roll over Miami.
Yep.
Especially after game 1. So, all of a sudden it's like, "Whoa." And what happens is you're kind of taken by a little surprised by it. Like and you when your mindset is not like where it should be, you panic. And I think Denver got out of its game in game 2. I think they mentally panicked. I don't think they all of a sudden realized, man, you're going to have to earn winning a championship. Like, it's not just going to be given to you. Like, you may think you're way overmatched. It's clearly a mismatch with Miami. But this team got to the finals, and this has been a good basketball team for some years now. And so, to me, I love it. Like, and so right now, you know, because you have one team that won, and you got to deal with winning, right? You have to learn how to still get mad, still get fired up, and still get focused when you win. And it's so hard. It's so hard sometimes because you get lackadaisical, you get complacent, you think, you know. I think it's even harder in those situations than the team that lost. And then Miami's like, man, this is embarrassing. Man, we were at home, you know. How could we lose this game? And so everything goes into game 4, right? All of this, like, how do we stay focused and how do we, you know, because you go up 3-1.
It's done.
It's done, right?
You win two in the road.
So here you have the next game. And to me, like, this should be the most like intense, most action-packed, most, you know, you're going to see these teams just show up. And that's all you want, right? That's all I want. I just want to go, I want two teams focused, mad, ticked off, playing at a high level, and that's what you're going to get on Friday. And that's to me is the beautiful part of the playoffs. When the Jazz played in the finals against the whatchamacallits, the Michael Jordan guy, whoever
the
he
Bulls?
Is. The Bulls. Yeah.
The Bulls.
So when they play and they were embarrassed in game one. Like it was I don't even think you were you alive then?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm older than 20.
Older than 20?
Yeah.
You young looking, by the
way. I'm younger than 40 and older than 20. I'll leave it at that.
We always get you on the air, and you sound more mature on the air, right? But then I see you in real life, and I'm like, did you get – you drove up here, right? You got a driver's license?
Yeah, I drove up here. Right. I own a car, yeah.
All right. Just checking. I'm kidding.
I got into the building, too, with a pass.
Wow.
So.
That's amazing. Anyways, you're a young-looking dude. So
I got to ask you a question. Actually.
All right, just really quick, because the Jazz got embarrassed in game one, right? Terrible, awful. And you just go, oh man, this series is over.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, this is the Bulls. They can't hang with the Bulls. And Karl Malone got in a car and drove. Because they have days. You know, they have days, right? And he just got away from it all and he just goes, man, we kind of really messed it up here. And we just choked, you know. And in my mind, I'm like, they're going to get smoked in game two. And they found a way. They found a way to compete, and they made it a series. So, to me, it's just fascinating from game to game, the change strategy, but also the change psychologically and where these teams and where they get mentally. It's fascinating to me.
That's a perfect segue into my question.
All right, give me your question.
So, I don't know if you saw this.
I see everything.
I find this very interesting, and I want to get a player's perspective because I can't speak to this as a former player and the impact that this would have. So Denver loses game two. They fly out to Miami.
Yep.
There's a member of the Nuggets roster that lives in Miami, outside of Miami.
Okay.
Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Good player, right?
Played for the Jazz for a minute.
Yeah. He's got a house outside of Miami, and he is notorious for...
Do you know where it is?
I don't know the exact city. I know you played in Miami. I haven't been in Miami.
Because, like, to be in actual Miami, that's not that great.
I will look.
But there are areas that are phenomenal. I'm sure he lives in a really nice part of Miami.
I'm trying to figure this out.
So he notoriously hosts parties, or what were you saying?
He likes to host these dinners with his team where they come out. They don't go to South Beach. They go to this neighborhood. I'm going to get you the name of this neighborhood momentarily.
You want to go to North Beach.
It's hard to research geological locations while also making a point on the air. That's a hard multitask.
You mean geographical?
No, geological.
Geological. Hey, yikes.
Mixed metaphor. Uh-huh. He's part of the team now.
Scott has plenty of those.
I'm loaded with mixed I totally knew what you meant.
Okay,
geologically,
perfect.
Yeah.
So they kind of skipped the typical film session. They go to Jeff Green's house, and they just had a home-cooked meal from his chef. So what Jeff Green didn't cook the meal, but they congregated his house and kind of got away from hoops.
Got it.
And a lot of Denver players were crediting that experience to resetting how they – felt going into game three, which they ended up winning. You know, this isn't a story if they lose, but how tangible, how realistic is it for moments like that in a team environment to reset the psyche and get you prepared for a game?
I think there's a way to reset in a game like that, you know, and there's always comments. There's always because here's what happens. If you sit in silence and you stew in silence, it is the death nail. Like, it is the worst thing you can do as an athlete, to stew over the nervousness of a game, right? So you've got to figure out ways to combat pressure.
Nerves.
Right? And so you learn, like I learned techniques. I learned words to say. You hear the famous story of Joe Montana when he goes on the drive to win the 88 Super Bowl against the Cincinnati Bengals, and he gets in the huddle and goes, hey, I think that's John Candy down at the other end of the
right.
Isn't that John Candy? And everyone's like puking in the huddle. They're all nervous, and they go, man, Joe Montana, okay, so this isn't that big a deal. Like, and so sometimes levity, and then there's a famous quote that I actually found out was misquoted, and so John Elway gets in the huddle to do the drive against Cleveland, right? And they're 97 yards. They're on the 3 yard. They're 97 yards. I mean, it doesn't look good. They're in Cleveland. It's bad weather. Cleveland's good. And he gets in the huddle. And he goes, hey, we got him right where we want him. And so just kind of flipping the tables on things. But also, it's a highly pressured situation that's not only during games, but during the week. I mean, you get filmed every day in practice.
Right.
So you're like scrutinized all the time. You go to the media and you have to talk to the media every single day. So you're always on television. You're always in the newspaper. And now with social media and how everything, it's just times 10. So I learned things. Even when I would drive to work, I would actually, like, the music I listened to actually helped me, you know, because you listen to music, you do something on your way to work. And so I literally listened to Enya every day going to work just because I was like, man, I want to be mellow when I walk in this building. I don't want to be already uptight because you're on the freeway and you're fighting traffic in the morning. And so you're just like, man, I need to be as mellow as I possibly can be. And so, yeah, there are a lot of times in those pressure situations. But then, you know, watching Dan Marino run a 2-minute drill, and it became exciting. Like, you wanted to be in that situation. And I know for me, I love the 2-minute drill, and I love being because you had complete control over the game. And so there's an element of, man, I can't wait. Just give me the ball, and we're going to go score, and we're going to win. And having that confidence is a big deal. So having a dinner, you know, where guys get together, they don't feel isolated, they don't feel alone. There's a great story about Dennis Rodman. Kind of, they knew this with Dennis Rodman. If Dennis Rodman felt isolated, because he's a weird dude, right?
Yeah.
And it's not like he's got a lot of teammates that are buddies of his. Like, no one can relate to Dennis Rodman on the Chicago Bulls. But Phil Jackson understood this dilemma, and he made sure he had buddies and pals that would go out with him when they were in cities. And so Steve Kerr tells a phenomenal, funny story about the time he hung out with Dennis Rodman in Philadelphia one night just so Dennis wouldn't get that isolation feeling. Fascinating story.
The city's Pine Crest, by the way. Do you know where that is?
Pine Crest in Philadelphia?
No, outside of Miami. Pine Crest, where Jeff Green lives.
Pine Crest?
Yeah. It's like 30 minutes outside of Miami.
Really? I've never heard of Pine Crest.
Okay, well,
I'll take your word for it.
Don't take my word for it. Take Sam Amick's word for it.
All right. But no, those things actually help. All right, we're going to take a break. But before we do, make sure you download that KSL Sports app. Anywhere you get your apps, get it. Then you can hear all the great, wonderful things that goes on KSL Sports, including our show and all the other shows on the zone, the KSL Sports Zone. So download it, and it's wonderful. Traffic's coming up next when we come back. Hey, the Big 12 is taking its show to Mexico. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.